pray this in Jesus' name. Topic this afternoon is Pride Goeth Before Destruction. Now, do you remember that businessman in church who, after becoming quite successful in his business, has no longer come to church? Do you remember that guy? Or how about that student in the fellowship that, because even though he used to serve actively, after graduating and after getting a good job, has stopped coming to church? You remember him? Or how about that doctor who used to sit right below at the pulpit here, but once his practice took off, he would come to church less and less? You remember him? Now, some of you might be shocked that I would say such things about our church members, but just to let you know, I'm not referring to anyone specific. I don't remember any doctor. I don't remember any businessman or student, but these are common occurrences. These are common examples. And perhaps if you have identified someone in your mind, it shows that these things do happen. Now, in our passage today, we see someone who early on in life relied on God. But God, as He prospered him, this person started to fall away. As long as he relied, he was blessed. But when he grew strong, when he recognized that he was increasing in all his blessings, he soon forgot God. And this is common with so many of us. The result was pride, self-reliance, and presumption. Now, there are 3 points in today's message printed for you in your bulletin. Firstly, we receive favor from God when we rely on Him. Secondly, all of us have a natural inclination to forget God when things are going our way. And thirdly, when we forget God, we will become presumptuous. So firstly, we receive favor from God when we rely on Him. And here, we see in our passage today, Uzziah. Now, this was a king who ruled longer than any other king in the history of Judah. We learn that he ruled 52 years, and he came to the throne during a time of crisis. Now, according to history, his father was assassinated. Now, he wasn't the very best king, and the people were very unhappy, so much so that they rose up against him and they killed him. And what interests us, however, is that Uzziah was chosen to replace his father, not by his father, but by the people of Judah who had done the assassination. You could say that this was a king who had a landslide political victory. All of the people of Judah had placed him on the throne. He was the people's choice. Now, why they chose him could be perhaps due to the fact that what he did was right in the sight of the Lord. We learn that he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, a prophet, and likely Zechariah was his mentor. And almost immediately, we see that Uzziah began to show himself to be a good leader. He had military and economic successes. You look here in verse 10, that economically he did quite a lot. He built towers in the desert, and I believe that refers to trading outposts. You know, it's hard to traverse the desert, but if you have stations in oases, right, that facilitates trade, and so that's what he did. And he also dug wells for irrigation, and because of that, it contributed to more fertile land, and fertile land always results in better livestock and agriculture. It says here that he loved husbandry. He was into agriculture, right? Now, military, he did even more. According to verse 2, he built Eloth, and he restored it to Judah. Now, Eloth is a strategic city in the south, and it's a port city, and it belonged to the Edomites. So what he did was he secured it, and he used it once again as a seaport for commerce. Now, those of you who know the geography of Israel, Eilat is all the way down south, and if you've ever been there, that's the port city of Eilat, right, for those of you who have been. Now, he was also successful in his campaigns against the Philistines. Verse 6 tells us that he conquered all the cities of these long-standing enemies of the Jews, and he also built Jewish settlements among them. In one sense, you could say, you know, history is repeating itself. You know, Israel has attacked Gaza, and he, of course, Uzziah, attacked the Philistines, likely in their historical area in Gaza, and he built Jewish settlements in them. And according to verses 7 and 8, he conquered the Arabians, and he received tribute from the Ammonites. We learn that they made peace with him. And this reminds us, of course, of Proverbs 16, verse 7, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So his fame spread far and wide. He made Judah very, very strong. And that's really what it's meant by he strengthened himself exceedingly. And he did this by building an army of fighting men. Verses 11 to 15 tell us that he had wise counselors. He had cunning military leaders. And we see here that he had 2,600 mighty men and 307,500 soldiers. And this was really larger than what Judah had ever seen in a long time. And this to this army, he was able to supply them with equipment. So he made Judah one of the most powerful nations in the region at that time, and he ushered in, you could say, a 50-year golden age. Now, how old was Uzziah when he started to reign? 16. Right? We can't even do that. You know, we think at 25, you know, people can do a lot, but you know, 25 is the new 18. Right? 16. Imagine that, at this tender age, to do so much. Why? How? And the simple reason? It's because he relied on God. Because he relied on God, God showed him his favor. We see in verse 5 that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And we see in verse 15 that he was marvelously helped till he was made strong by God. So he was helped, he was strengthened as long as he relied on God. And that's the same really with you and me. As long as we seek God, God shows us his favor. But folks, what does it really mean to seek God? What does it mean to rely on him? And really, I think there are three things. Firstly, there's trust. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." And goes on to say, "He shall not cease from bearing fruit." So there has to be a trust, and I think Uzziah trusted in God. Next, there was also obedience. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9 says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do." So if we obey, then we will prosper. You know, seeking the Lord and relying on him is not just a mental outlook. Now, a lot of us can frequently say, "Oh yes, you know, I trust in the Lord." But when struggles hit, sometimes we don't rest on him. We don't surrender to him. We run around and recklessly seek other things to fulfill the goals that we so desire. Of course, many of us say that we're looking to the Lord, but we aren't doing the very things that he has commanded us to do. So reliance on God is not just leaning on him, it is obeying him. And I would say that's why so many times, many of us, we get discouraged. You know, we want help from God. You know, we say that we are relying on him. We say that we are trusting in him, but we're really not doing the things that he has asked us to do, right? And it's like the student who prays to God for good grades, but he's not studying, right? And then when he fails his exam, he wonders why God has never, you know, listened to him. So not only was Uzziah reliant, Not only was he obedient, but thirdly, we see that he was a penitent man. He relied on God for forgiveness of his sins. Now, how do we know that? We see that because he was humble. He sought the Lord. And you can't seek the Lord without having the attitude of humility. Otherwise, the Bible would never say he sought the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 13 tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So I would say here that Uzziah was reliant, he was obedient, and he was penitent. But for all his trust, all his obedience, and all his humility, when he became successful, that's where we see that he started to turn away from God. Now all of us, without exception, all of us have this inclination. You know, when things don't go our way, what do? "God, would you help me? I promise I'll do this, 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 if you help me." And, you know, very often we do. We do keep the vows, right? Not always, but we try to. But when things start to go our way, that's when we start to forget God. And that's the second point. And this is exactly what happened to Uzziah. We're told in verse 16 that when he was strong, that's when his heart was lifted up, and that's when he sinned against God. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 to 14, and you see that God had already warned the Israelites, you know, as they were about to enter into the promised land, not to let their hearts be lifted up, because when they were to do so, they would forget him. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 to 14 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You know, God already warned them because he knew the human heart. And this was a statute that should have been repeated over and over again. And I'm sure it was, even by Zechariah, the mentor of Uzziah. But we are prone to forgetting that when we enjoy success, often we will forget God. And you could say that there is a strong correlation between prosperity, pride, and forgetfulness. And this is something that we have to acknowledge. Now, the businessman that forgets God, the student that forgets God, the doctor that forgets God are only a small part of it. The parent that has a healthy child forgets to pray for the child. The child is healthy. Pump him with vitamins, give him fish oil for his intellect, send him to enrichment classes. You don't thank God for it. The church that is rich, filled with affluent people, forgets compassion. "Oh, there's a bum that walked into church. He probably wants money. Let's beware of him." We forget compassion. The office bearer who has managerial success can forget the word of God. "I plan this way in my business, I can do it in the church." The minister who knows how to craft sermons forgets to rely on the Spirit. You know, we see this over and over and over again in our lives. When Uzziah became strong, he saw all the things that had happened, such as the conquering of Elath, the Philistines, the Arabians, the Ammonites, all the fruits garnered from agriculture, the huge herds of cattle. He saw this as his doing. And really, there's a strong link between prosperity and forgetfulness. Let's turn to Hosea 13, verse 6. Hosea 13, verse 6, and let us read this together. Hosea 13, verse 6, beginning, "According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me." I'm not saying that we don't pray for prosperity. I'm not saying that we don't even desire to prosper. But remember, when we do prosper, we forget. You know, we studied a few weeks back, right, on the pitfalls of riches. We are to thank God, we are to enjoy the riches that He has given us. But often riches can make us high-minded. And this is what has happened to Judah, to Uzziah. When he was strong, his heart became proud, so much so that he forgot God's commandments, and he sinned. You know, there's this account of a famous Spanish bullfighter by the name of Jose Cubero. And during the height of his career, I think he was one of the youngest bullfighters, and he was statistically the best. He had the most kills, the fastest kills. But what we learn is that at the height of his career, he was gored to death by a bull. He was only 21 years old. In his last bullfight, it is said that Jose made a very tragic mistake. He thrust his sword a final time into the bleeding and delirious bull, and the bull collapsed. And so he thought, the struggle is over. The bull is dead. So he turned around, you know, and as matadors do, you know, they take off their hats, they take off their cape, you know, they lay it down, and he received the admiration of the crowds, right? These Spanish women threw roses to him. He may have taken the rose, put it in his mouth, blew a kiss. We don't know what it was like. But what happened was the bull was not dead. And it rose up, and it lunged at him, and his horn pierced the back and punctured his heart. Now, the analogy goes so far, okay? You know, the point is not to compare God and the bull. But certainly it's to say that when things are going our way, we need to thank God for it. But at the same time, let us not forget to be careful. And that, as a Christian, means to continue to rely on the Lord. You know, sometimes I think, you know, it is a good thing to thank God that we aren't that successful. You know? In affluent churches, people always say, oh, thank God that God is prospering our members. You know, do we ever thank God that sometimes God is not prospering our members? It's not a bad thing, you know, the lack of success. Now, I think sometimes it's because God knows what some of us can and cannot take. And so the key is to be content. And God knows that some of us are not mature enough to receive that kind of success. What you see in Hosea, you also see in Uzziah. When we forget God, we will become presumptuous. And that's the third point. Now, God here had called him to be king over his people. And in that calling, as long as he was in that calling, he was a good and godly king. As long as he remained in that particular calling, as long as he trusted in God for help, he prospered and he was made strong. But what we see is that at the height of his prosperity, in his strength, he became proud. His heart was lifted up, and he dared to step out of the area of service that God had called him to. And what he did was he arrogantly intruded into another field of service that God had consecrated to someone else. Now, what did Uzziah do? What he did basically was he entered into the temple, he got a coal from the brazen altar, put it on a censer, walked into the temple, and put it on the altar of incense, thinking that he, as king, being as successful as he was, could approach God. Now, Uzziah would have known that only the priests could perform this task of burning incense. In fact, only the priests were allowed into the holy place. Everyone else could only remain outside of the temple. Numbers 3, verse 10 says, "And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." So serious was God's regulation for his temple worship, so specific were his requirements, that they could only do what they were called to do. Now, we all remember that that incident with Uzzah, the priest, right? When the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, David mistakenly put it on a cart that was dragged by oxen. The cart toppled and shook, and the ark was about to fall out. Uzzah thought that he was doing a great favor and service to God. He loved the ark. He didn't want the ark to fall, and he raised forth his hands to touch the ark, and the Lord struck him down because of his irreverence, because of his error. And so in this same way, Uzziah was confronted by the stunned priests, right? Not to do what he was wanting to do. We see here Azariah, the high priest, confronting him with 80 priests. Now this must have been quite a scene. Now we have to remember that the Old Testament priests were strong men. Okay, not like these fairy priests today. Right? What did the priests in those days do? What was their job? Sacrifice. Imagine being a butcher, carving an entire animal, hoisting it up to the brazen altar. These were strong men. Imagine 81 strong men facing you and telling you to get out of the temple of God. But we see here, Uzziah was presumptuous. He had the support of the people. He had the support of all his works. He had the support of God, or so he thought. And thus he thought that he could do this work that was reserved only for the priest. Why should I go to the priest to seek God? Why do I need to rely on an intercessor, a mediator? I can do it myself. And that is the same for many of us. Christ is our mediator. He is the only mediator between God and men, but many of us will not pray to him nor rely on him. And as a result here, for what Uzziah did, he was rebuked with harsh words. In verse 18, Azariah said, "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." We see here the warning that Uzziah would have no honor from God. This was very opposite from his attitude. He thought he was honorable. And because of this rebuke, we see in verse 19 that he became furious. Imagine, he became furious at God's priests for telling him what God had forbidden him to do. You know, folks, you know, as Bible-believing Christians, you know, we don't deny women the right to work, as many of you do, you know, gloriously fulfilling your vocation in the world. You know, many of you are perhaps even CEOs in your own company, right? Praise the Lord for that. Now, the lady CEO has every right to lead her company. But at home, even though she may be more capable than her husband, and husbands, we all know that many of our wives are more capable than us, right, than we, right? Yet, she is the helper. She's not the leader. Though the son of uneducated parents may be very intelligent in school, he's still not the parent at home. Though a deacon may be very godly, he's not an elder, and he does not rule. And likewise, though the pastor may teach the word, the finances of the church really are none of his business. Now what is interesting about Uzziah's act was that he was trying to do a religious work. I mean, a lot of us would say, what's wrong with that? We may look at the example of Saul. After he attacked and destroyed the forces of King Agag, You know, he offered a sacrifice, which was not his to do. But many of us would think, what's wrong with that? It's a spiritual act. It's an act of great spirituality. What's wrong? But the thing is, in the eyes of God, there is a great wrong. You know, we become presumptuous when we become self-important. You know, there was once a young American pianist, a fairly up-and-coming pianist, you know, going to be fairly well-known. And she visited Beethoven's museum in Germany. And there she saw the pianoforte that Beethoven used to compose some of his greatest works. So she asked the museum guard, can I play a few bars on it? So the guard agreed. And she played the opening stanzas of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. So satisfied, she stopped. And as she was leaving, she said to the guard, you know, I suppose all the great pianists who come here want to play on that piano. Then the guard shook his head and replied, Paderewski, who was a famous Polish pianist, I think in the 60s, when he came here last year, he said he wasn't worthy to touch it. Uzziah was therefore thereafter dealt with by the Lord. Because he refused to get out of the temple, God caused leprosy to break out of his forehead. And as a result, he hurried out. If he couldn't get out by himself, God would do it for him. And what we see is that he lived in a several house, in a quarters, right, reserved for lepers until he died. And this was a great judgment because no leper would ever be allowed in the house of God. The gatekeepers, these priests, would kill you if you were to come to the house of God. He was made unclean, separated from the only source of atonement, all because of his pride. There are some lessons for us. The higher you fly, well, the farther you fall. And just because we have been made exceedingly strong, we still need to acknowledge God, not to be presumptuous in the things that we do. In the household of God, there's an order. In the household, in the family, there's an order. In the world, there's an order. And the Lord commands each of us to remain in that sphere to which he has called us. For his own glory. Let us pray. Eternal, gracious Father, we are so prone to sinning against you. We're so prone to become emboldened and proud. Lord, we pray that you would fill us, our hearts, with the gentleness, the meekness, the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we would be thankful unto you for all the gifts and all the success that you have given unto us. Help us never to be presumptuous, but help us always to give you glory in our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In closing, let us sing hymn 166, Cleanse Me.